That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, you know what happens? You get it.
Okay. I feel good about that.
What's going on, everyone? This is Ben Raven with the Court of Nerds Podcast Network, joined here by my MLive coworker, Matt Durr.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Of course. We're going to talk about the state of current WWE as we're kind of stuck in a lull period of SmackDown has a brand pay-per-view, Raw has nothing until the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Which is the end.
At least 6 weeks. Seven weeks away.
And let's just say that weekly TV has reflected that. And we're going to talk about the Cody Rhodes Young Bucks self-funded 10,000 ticket show, seat show. Who knows what that's going to be, but you haven't watched wrestling since Survivor Series.
Yeah, I was so frustrated with the way that show turned out and the build-up going into it that it was just enough to make me realize, like, I need to take a break, I need to take a step back. Because I wasn't enjoying the show anymore. It's one thing to disagree with, like, storylines and the way things are going, but, like, I found it to be a chore because everyone that I would get invested in seems like keeps getting pushed to the back burner in favor of guys that come in for 6 weeks or aren't going to be there long term. And it's frustrating as a fan to, like, want to see guys that you've watched in NXT or in other promotions. See them come up, you want to see them get a chance, and they always end up to seems like getting pushed back so that, you know, Kurt Angle can get his big return or Triple H can stand tall at the end of Survivor Series. So
just background, Matt and I are huge diehard wrestling fans. Yes, that covers WWE, but that also covers Ring of Honor, New Japan. Anything that's wrestling, we'll be interested in. And we drove to Toronto together for TakeOver. This guy goes to Chicago for everything, it seems like.
Try to, at least.
So, yeah, it's just when we're not watching, that means something's up. And I've been DVR watching, which is basically consuming Raw in a human amount of time, an hour and a half, as a TV show should be. I'm still watching weekly, but it's getting tough, especially when I see Kane going clean over Seth Rollins and Finn Balor in back-to-back weeks.
Right. Well, and the thing that got me is Finn Balor has this amazing match with AJ Styles that's unannounced, kind of a dream match for wrestling fans, WWE, New Japan, like fans around the world were like, this is a great match. They have the match. It's fantastic. And then the next night, Finn Balor's on Raw getting beat up by Kane. It's like, I thought he was starting to get some momentum. They were going to go somewhere with him, kind of give him the push that it looked like he was going to get last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then he's just right back to kind of floundering and doing nothing. He gets put in the Survivor Series match. He has a 90 seconds of great action, and then he's out of that again. And it's like, it's so much anger is filling me when I watch this stuff. It's just like, I don't know where to go anymore to find that weekly entertainment for pro wrestling. So I've just kind of backed off and just focusing on New Japan and Ring of Honor as it is, you know, as it were right now.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the WWE, I don't know. You know, wrestling fans forget that there's more than WWE just out there. And so check out New Japan. That website is accessible. It's in English, too, if that's your big beef with them. Ring of Honor, you can find that pretty easily online through TV streaming online TV channels, your local Sinclair broadcast at 3 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Just like, well, and I'm pretty sure Ring of Honor does their weekly TV on the website. It's just a couple days after it'll premiere on broadcast TV. So you can still see it for free online.
What was the moment during the Survivor Series 5-on-5 match where you were like, oh, of course this is what's happening?
Oh, God. Probably when Shane McMahon is the last guy standing on the SmackDown team, and you realize John Cena did absolutely nothing. He had no purpose there other than to just be a name on the show. So it's Kurt Angle and Shane McMahon and Triple H, and I'm like, this is it 2001? Like, I've seen this 15 years ago, literally 15 years ago.
Yeah.
These are the same guys that are still on my TV, and it just I could not fathom why they would think that that was a suitable ending to the show.
Because you think it would be the other way around. Put those names on the match card to get people to watch, the casual fans, right. And then have your new guys go over to have new viewers seeing your new talent.
Right. Like, I thought this was going to be Braun Strowman.
How is it not Braun Strowman yet?
Just like. But it feels like we've been saying that for 6 months now. I thought SummerSlam was going to be Braun Strowman's big, you know, here he is. We're giving him the push. And he's been pushed well, but I think a lot of that has to do with his size. It seems like he should be the next, pardon the stealing Brock Lesnar's name, but he should be the next big thing. He should be the guy that everyone is clamoring for. And he was hardly in the Survivor Series match. The story, I guess, that he pushes Triple H around and no one can tell Braun Strowman what to do is where they were going, but that... It was a huge letdown that he wasn't more of a focal point in that match.
He's like the most organically over guy on that roster.
Right.
I mean, he is scary, right. Big, and strong, and he does enough on the mic. I mean, he screams and grunts and basically is a cliche machine, but that's that character.
Right. He doesn't need to be that guy that goes out and cuts a 10-minute promo at the start of Raw.
There's a difference between being bad on the mic and... finding something that works for your character.
Exactly.
You know, this isn't The Rock. This isn't Chris Jericho. This is a big hillbilly that destroys people.
Right.
This is like...
and it seems like he had that great feud with Roman, which I thought was some of Roman's best work. It seemed like he was destined to be the guy that would face Brock maybe at the Rumble or maybe even beat Brock because it's a similar guy. Brock Lesnar's a big farming guy. Doesn't have to do a promo, and Paul Heyman could talk everyone into the building with those two, and they just seem to be going another way with Braun. Why is he still fighting Kane? Like, why does every big guy have to go through Kane to prove he's a tough guy?
I don't understand that, because he's already gone through Kane. Right. TLC, he went through Kane. I mean, yeah, it took six guys to keep him down. He went through Kane recently on Raw. Kane was scared of Braun on this past Monday's Raw.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's how they portray. What are they doing? If they don't put Braun Strowman in the Royal Rumble and have him facing Kane at that pay-per-view, then I'll be done until WrestleMania. Because I'm not nitpicking with storylines. I'm nitpicking with, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing here? It's the same over and over again. It's Triple H and Shane, and then throwing a name, give or take, Sting, Kurt Angle. Like, yeah. it's the same formula every single year now. And it's not exciting.
Well, right. This is the time of year where Goldberg comes back, or Batista comes back, or Triple H's feud starts, and for the next 8 to 12 weeks, we're gonna see the ass kicker of Triple H, and then he's gonna face. The rumor is Kurt Angle. Why do we need to see that match? No one benefits from that match. Kurt Angle has looked awful in his two matches since he's been back.
He's almost got hurt bad. I mean, when he freaking landed on his forehead in the TLC match, I was like, oh, Kurt's already dead.
Right.
10 minutes into his return.
It's clear that he's working at a half pace because he's older and he can't go the way that Kurt Angle used to, and I don't need to see that. Like, I don't need the nostalgia of Kurt Angle's music and the red, white, and blue if it means he's risking harm to himself. Obviously, he's been cleared, so they're not letting him go out there without clearance. But I don't need to see Kurt Angle at 75%. I want to see Samoa Joe at 100% getting a shot at headlining a WrestleMania or being in a featured match at WrestleMania. Yeah. I don't need to see him at the back of the card facing Finn Balor again, which we saw for 8 months in NXT.
So what's happening now.
Right.
Kurt is in great shape. He's in great cardio shape. It's just that this is a robo-man nearing 50.
Right.
He cannot go at the rate he went. I mean, it's nothing against Kurt. You've given us all you had to give. Please be a father to your children and stop. You're... like embrace this GM role. Maybe give us a feud match with Jason Jordan if that's the way they're going to go. Oh. I'd rather see him work with somebody like Jason Jordan than Triple H, to be completely honest.
Right.
Put over a talent.
Yeah. You use Kurt Angle's name to give someone else a little bit of a push.
They already hate Jason Jordan. He hits Kurt Angle in the back with a chair. They'll hate him even more.
The hate for Jason Jordan, I think, isn't because he's a bad guy. It's because he's a bad performer. He's great in the ring, but that Dad, don't take me out of the match thing was one of the worst segments I've ever seen.
He doesn't have a character. He doesn't have a personality. He's great to watch in the ring, and I mean, what's the difference between him and Apollo Crews?
Right, they have dozens of guys on that on the roster that are great in the ring, but they don't have a dozen guys, like Shinsuke Nakamura, who can go. He's charismatic. He has stuff going for him, and they can't find anything for a guy like that.
I didn't think they'd ever waste a guy like Nakamura. Like, they were talking about him. I remember that huge Deadspin piece about Nakamura being groomed to be the next Cena.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like it's even possible anymore.
No, and I hear, you read like Reddit and different message boards, the talk is he possibly could be being groomed to face Styles at WrestleMania, which is a dream match.
If it's for the belt, then yes, please.
Right. It happened in New Japan Pro Wrestling 2 years ago. It was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that Vince McMahon or that creative team knows how to use a guy like Nakamura. And I don't think his style is translating to the WWE.
They seem confused by it. The fans seem confused by Nakamura. The mainstream SmackDown fans, like either in attendance or watching at home through the crowd, they seem confused by him.
Yeah, the WWE is we talk about it all the time, it's a family-friendly product, it's a PG product. Shinsuke Nakamura is a violent wrestler. His stuff is supposed to look like it's hurting you, and I don't know that they're comfortable letting him unleash.
Yeah, because there's a difference between his violence and Braun Strowman's violence. A power slam from Braun Strowman is violent.
Right.
Shinsuke's going to hit you with knees and forearms and punches.
Right, and those are the sort of things that they try to avoid because they don't want kids getting the idea that you can knee somebody in the face.
And them not bleed or break their nose by it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But I think if there's anyone that can highlight what makes Nakamura great, it's AJ Styles. The one thing that could keep me coming back and did for a while was AJ Styles. His performances over the last year,
he makes Jinder Mahal look extremely competent.
It's just everything he does. That triple threat match he had at Hell in a Cell with Ty Dillinger and
Bobby
Baron Corbin.
Yes, yeah, duh, yeah.
If you watch that match, he's flying all over the place, making those two guys look like a million bucks.
Oh, you made Corbin look like a million bucks at that show and then the SmackDown in Grand Rapids that week. I mean, he made me so, maybe Baron Corbin's more than just a big guy with two cool-looking finisher moves.
And then the next
Baron
Corbin's just a big guy
back with
two
in a feud
cool
with Sin Cara.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads us into it. There are other alternatives. And then, I know you're not the biggest Dusty guy in the world, but his son seems to be taking a page out of his dad's book and finding his own way in the wrestling industry. I mean, the big deal with Ring of Honor, the Ring of Honor champion, and now Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks announced a self-funded show that they plan to sell 10,000 tickets for.
Right.
I mean, we don't have cities yet, we don't have venues, we don't have a card, but, I mean, people are freaking out about this.
Right, well, and it's funny, it started with a bet with Dave Meltzer. Meltzer said that Ring of Honor couldn't sell out a 10,000-seat venue, and Cody, said, I'll take that bet.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, wouldn't it be grand? Well, here we are 9 months later, and they're looking at venues, and I think Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, are honestly the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I mean, it's crazy that their shirts are in Hot Topic, and their shirts were like the hottest sellers over Black Friday in the entire Hot Topic website. Selling out a 10,000 seat arena doesn't seem like it's going to be that tough.
Put a freaking little tag in with their shirts at Hot Topic, I think these guys are smart. I mean, just following Cody's Twitter account, I'm like, yep, I believe in this guy.
Right.
He seems really smart. He seems like he knows what he's doing.
And I think what's going to maybe make or break the entire thing is it seems like these guys understand that they're wrestling fans kind of like yourself and me that have watched WWE for years. They're always going to watch it, but they're looking for something a little different, and that's a little more mature and geared towards the smart wrestling,
smart
wrestling fans. Uh-huh. And if they do it in the right city, a Chicago, a New York, I know London's been on the list. One of these markets where there's a large population and there's a lot of diehard fans, I don't think it's going to be a problem to sell it out. I think the problem is going to be, how do they get to the next step so that they can go to the next big city? I think once they do one, it's going to be, okay, well, when are you coming to Chicago? When are you coming to Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
And how soon can you book this venue to get it done?
Yeah, no, that's going to be a big part of it, is where they put this show. Because I think if they put it in Chicago, it'll be done. I mean, it'll be easy. I mean, and then all of a sudden you can speculate. We've been speculating all day about CM Punk.
Right.
He's in Detroit today.
Right. He's supposed to be meeting with Dana White about his UFC future. I was at the media day today, and the kind of scuttlebutt going around is Punk's not going to fight again. Who knows? But if there's a big independent wrestling show in his hometown that's put on by people he's said are friends of his, I have a hard time believing he doesn't become a part of it. There's been too much of his name being thrown out there in recent weeks for there not to be some sort of truth to maybe Punk's getting ready to come back.
Mm-hmm. And then under WWE contract through May?
I thought it was September.
September is Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Now, if they think that they can get him, please hold off on this show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, make this a success. Take the pay. Do it in 2018, but if you can get somebody like that, that you'll be able to sell out 20,000 seater.
It's no joke. I think if dream scenario, if you put on the card a returning Bryan Danielson and a returning CM Punk in Chicago, in New York, maybe 20,000 is a lot to ask. Is 15?
No, I don't.
Out of the question.
If you put Daniel Bryan and CM Punk against the Young Bucks in a tag match,
people will buy the tickets.
Put that shit on pay per view.
People will buy or stream it online through the fight networks and stuff. People will pay for the experience alone of seeing CM Punk walk out in a wrestling ring for the first time in 5-6 years, whatever it would be.
I think I saw Nick retweet yesterday like a dream card, and it was the Young Bucks versus Rockin' Hogan, and then like Cody versus Bryan Danielson, and one of them retweeted it with literally us versus Rockin' Hogan is the only possible match on this. So I don't know, that's exciting. I mean, Cody's not given much. I mean, like you said, you listen to the Bully Ray podcast, and he said his dream scenario is defending the belt against Bryan Danielson in the main event.
Right, and, the Ring of Honor Championship. So,
I mean, if you can pull that one off, then this is going to be a lot more than a one-off self-funded show.
Right. Well, and Brian, he was on, I think it was Sam Roberts' wrestling podcast 2 weeks ago, and he said, ideally he wants to come back and wrestle in the WWE.
Of course he does.
But but realistically, they're still not clearing him. They're still not. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. So if that's the case, he's going to come back. He's going to wrestle again.
Yeah.
So if the WWE is not going to give him the opportunity, and I understand why they don't want want him to do it, he seems gung-ho and that he's determined to make it happen, and why would he not go back to Ring of Honor where he had his greatest success before?
Yeah. It, WWE. Especially with Kurt Angle wrestling right now, you're going to tell me Kurt Angle's in better, like, his head and his neck is in better shape than Daniel Bryan's?
Yeah, I think the concussion thing is what scares the WWE, because going deep into it, the stuff with Chris Benoit and, the last thing
they need... Oh, they're terrified of
that. Right, the last thing they need is Daniel Bryan to take a bump in one of their rings and get severely hurt because of concussion. So I completely understand why the WWE isn't budging on that, but... at the same time, I can understand why Brian is saying everyone else, some of the top neurologists in the world are saying, I'm good.
How much would you pay to go to this self-funded show? And how far would you drive?
Chicago would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
How much would I pay? I think $200 is something I would top out at.
Yeah, I was going to say Chicago, no-brainer, I'm going. I was going to say, give me $150 to $200. I could talk myself into it.
Yeah.
Just because I believe in what they're trying to do and I want to support it.
Right, and that's the thing. Like, I want to support this. I want them to know that they're wrestling fans. Now, if they did it every month, no way I would be able to do that.
No, exactly, no.
But if they're saying, you know, we want to put on these special events and kind of take them around the country, we want to prove that, you know, every, what, 3-4 months, like the old WWE schedule, we're going to do a major show in a major city. If you guys support it, I want to say.
Build those feuds on Ring of Honor TV. I hear they're looking to expand their TV network capabilities, which, thank God. But just make sure you're able to do it. Get some goddamn better lighting in your arenas for TV. That, you know, I'm not trying to jump on the JR bandwagon, but that's the only thing I agree with him on Ring of Honor, is that they are missing a little lighting. It just feels like it's not an underwhelming product, so don't give it that amateurish lighting, you know? It's just
being a Ring of Honor fan for more than a decade, yeah. I kind of like that dirty, grimy feel.
I get it.
Their camera work, to me, is the, like, but their camera work, it's way better than the WWE's camera work.
Oh my god, yeah. Please show me the crowd in the middle of a finishing move, WWE.
I can understand that criticism, but I think in 2017, 2018, you can build feuds on the internet, too.
Yes.
Jericho and Omega proved that to us. I thought that was just two guys joking around with each other, you know, ha ha ha, we'll get the fans worked up, and then all of a sudden here's Jericho on New Japan TV.
How the hell did he work that out with WWE?
From what I heard on his podcast, he was just like, I have this idea, WWE couldn't make it happen or wasn't interested, and he said, I'm gone.
I feel like he's literally just walks into the room and says, I'm Chris Jericho. just like
right.
I don't know. I'm really excited for. Is that the main event at Wrestle Kingdom?
No, Wrestle Kingdom. The main event is Okada and Naito.
That's exciting.
That's.
I've recently just started catching up on the G1 tournament. Okay. A couple months late. Just watched the. I'm at the semifinal round where I just watched Omega Okada.
Yeah.
They did in 28 minutes better than they did in an hour. When they just went, it was like, holy crap, that could headline a WrestleMania. Like, you know, I mean, Okada is, people love Kenny Omega, but when I watch Okada, I'm just like, this guy makes everything look so easy.
I hate to speak, you know, in hyperbole or overstate it, but his 2017, I think when people look back at the best years of pro wrestlers, Okada's 2017 may be one of the top two or three of all time.
I agree 100%.
The trio of matches he had with Omega, you know, the match he had a great match with Suzuki.
Yeah.
He had a great match with Shibata before Shibata got hurt. He's on a level that I haven't seen. And Omega's right there, if not better.
If not better. Omega's, I wasn't trying to. I just was. Because I knew Kenny Omega could do the things he was doing. Maybe not at the level and the rate he was doing them at, but just watching Okada like that, I was like, my God, this guy is potentially the greatest performer in the world right now.
And it's so crazy that you look at a guy like Naito, who has had great matches himself, and he's maybe the third level.
It's just ridiculous.
Right. Maybe in Japan it's a little different because he's a Japanese wrestler. But, I mean, they've got three of the best wrestlers in the world in that company right now. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be in big spots with, you know, Chris Jericho as the fourth headliner of that show. Chris Jericho is coming in to headline a...
We should end on that. What are your expectations for Jericho and Omega?
Boy, that's...
I don't know.
Omega, I haven't seen Omega have a bad singles match in 2 years.
Nope.
Jericho had the best run of his career the last time he was full-time in the WWE.
I know it. Yeah, he really did.
I think those two guys, Jericho's experience and Omega's drive, it's going to be a special match. I don't know that it's going to be better than Naito and Okada. I don't know that it's going to be the 5-star or 6-star match that everyone wants. I think it's going to be a really good story about Omega trying to prove he's the best, and Jericho saying, you know, I'm 50 and I'm still as good as anyone.
I mean, Jericho proved it when he did his singles matches with AJ Styles. He did it with his KO run. I mean, he can still go and go and go and go. And I don't think Okada will have to slow himself down at all for this match. Yeah, or, I mean, Omega, yeah.
I think ideally Omega's the one that does a lot of the motion, and Jericho's so experienced, he's going to know how to build in that Japanese style. It's not going to be a guy that's transitioning to that stuff.
No.
He grew up in that, so he's going to know how to work the crowd, and he's going to let Omega kind of shine, I think.
I can't wait to see Jericho back in Japan.
Right.
Like this. Like, are they still going to love him? Are they going to remember him? Are they going to... It's fascinating. It's... What a weird year of wrestling.
But in a lot of ways, it's been the best year of in-ring product.
Yes.
In a long time, but the going back to what we started with, the story development on WWE's main programming has been so tough to deal with basically since WrestleMania.
I took 2 months off after WrestleMania.
Right.
I came back for SummerSlam.
That's right. And now I'm kind of in the same
boat. Yeah, we flip-flopped.
I just need to step away from it because, as much as I like seeing the Shield back, I also know in the back of my head it's really just a vehicle to get Roman a few cheers right now.
I'm bummed about how little I've cared about that.
I when I heard that they were doing it, and then I saw that they were going to pair them up against The Miz and The Miztourage, I was like, ugh.
You don't wait to do the Shield reunion at Survivor Series against The New Day?
Right.
What? I mean, I'm going to sit here right now. How would you do the Under Siege attack, and then that you set up the New Day Shield return. Maybe you have the New Day beat the crap out of Seth and Dean, and then Roman comes to the rescue.
Or how is the Under Siege not the catalyst for
something.
The Shield coming back?
Or something more than just Shane getting beat down.
Yeah.
Why was Under Siege a catalyst for a Shane Triple H storyline?
Right. For a 48-year-old part-time wrestler to get his comeuppance. What?
It makes
no sense. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn aren't on the third or fourth biggest show of the year. They're on the undercard. Why? Why was that not?
I'm really confused by their whole thing. What do you think them being sent home from that tour was a work or real?
I think it was real.
Yeah.
I mean, when you hear like Dave Meltzer talk about it, it sounds like it was a real thing. But I also think it was probably a misunderstanding. I mean, who knows?
I don't think KO would have done that on purpose. He seems like a guy that's going to do what the story tells him to do.
Right.
And I've never seen anything out of either of those guys that suggests, no, we're not going to do that.
Right.
You don't fuck with Vince McMahon like that. Like, people know that.
Especially, like, Kevin Owens is coming off of a main event of a pay-per-view. It's not like he's been floundering away at the bottom of the card. I know this is Sami Zayn's kind of big chance to make a move. But no, I think it was probably just a misunderstanding. But I'm excited to see what happens with those two.
Me too.
Hopefully they keep up some momentum and I get to watch it at the Rumble.
Yeah. Is there anyone other than Braun Strowman winning the Royal Rumble this year?
If I'm booking it, Braun wins and it's already been booked. But if I know the WWE, I'm not convinced that it's not maybe a Nakamura. Or Roman. Or,
has Roman already won the Rumble twice?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, God.
No, actually, he won it once, and then the 1 year.
Okay.
Triple H.
That's right. I was like, wait a second. Has he already won twice? Oh, my God. He can't win again. Okay, good. Thank God. But, yeah, money's on Braun, but close seconds are Nakamura and I guess. Who knows? I don't know. It's got to be Braun. But that's us talking.
That's us talking. I think in Vince's mind, they're going to use the next 6 weeks to get people liking Roman. Apparently, he had a great match on Raw this week.
I loved his match with Elias.
See? It's already, always having good matches.
Yeah.
He's back with the Shield. And then, he wins the Royal Rumble. And I think it completes this year of Roman knocking off The Undertaker, beating John Cena, beating Braun Strowman, and now he's prepared to take on the Beast, and he's prepared to take on Lesnar one-on-one at WrestleMania.
Well, we could talk for another hour about that, but this is where I'm just going to stop talking.
No, that's fine.
Here we go. I literally do just stop talking when I'm done.
Hey guys, it's Drew. Tom and Chi Granville is back with some impressive meal deals. Here's what you can look forward to if you stop by and get cheesy. you're always searching for the kids menu, look no further than Tom and Chi, where kids under 12 eat free from 4 to 8 p.m. every Tuesday, or enjoy half-off grilled cheese donuts every Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. And if you download the free Tom and Chi app, pop in every Thursday and get $3 classic grilled cheese sandwiches. Tom and Chi is also proud to support Chia. I think that's how I say it. A locally made vegan cheese that tastes so good, cows are starting to get jealous. Find Tom and Chi on 44th Street in Granville, near Cabela's.